Hey, Mao Cheshvan, Sunday the 14th of October, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, Geshen. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by family Silberstein, Le'il Nishmas, David Gershon, Ben Azriel, Zeichel Gevrocho.
That we don't need at the moment greater tefillos for rain given the conditions outside, and now I am not going to be talking about the well-known difference as to whether one should say Moirid HaGeshem or Moirid HaGoshem, save to mention that both stand on very firm ground. On the side of those who say Geshem, you have Diane Weiss, you have many of the notes who follow the Chassidish Poskim, you have Shlomo Zalman, who changed to that opinion later on in his life, Ramosha Sternbuch and Stipler, whereas followers of those who say HaGoshem include the Vilna Gaon, Igros Moshe, the Chofetz Chaim, Rabbi Yashuv, and Rabbi Aaron Kotler. So either way, you have very strong grounds to follow either of those two opinions. Amongst the 20th century poskim, it's very clear to say that views were split, and therefore no one can say to you, you're wrong for whatever you do. One interesting addendum of Rav Moshe Sternbuch says, because often those who say it is HaGoshem say so because it is the end of a phrase, that ideally one should pause slightly after saying Masha Baruch Omerid HaGoshem before saying Mechalkel in order to fulfill the concept of it being the end of a phrase. Now, although this is our topic, really what I want to talk about is the concept rather than the halacha. And in order to do so, let us go back to Shmiya Teres, to a well-known idea, Medrash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chosha alai predaschem, it is difficult for us to part, ikfu alai, and therefore remain here for one more day, and only then should you take your leave. The difficulties associated with this idea are perhaps on two different levels. The first is as follows. If a meeting takes place between two very close friends, and one of them leaves, and then they miss their flight, and they come back, and the two of them have an undiscovered 24 hours together, something that was not necessarily meant to happen. This 24 hours will indeed be enjoyed as almost illicit. It wasn't going to take place, and yet it did. But if two people who are very close to one another were about to leave, and they make the decision to delay the departure by 24 hours in order to cement their intimacy, the only thing that will happen during those 24 hours is that people will look at the clock, the two of them. because it overshadows, it headlines the entire 24 hours. The only reason we've got these 24 hours is because we're about to part ways. It will so influence this 24 hours that it will perhaps do the opposite of that which it was set out to achieve. A totally different question, though, deals with what we do on Shemini Atzeres. If this is supposed to be a day where we celebrate our relationship and where we have no need for specific mitzvahs, Shemini Atzeres is just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, and the Torah. Shabrich v'yirais v'Yisrael chada, that is the day. There's no need, kavayochel, for props. It is just the thing itself. It's very odd in that case that on that day what we do is we ask for rain, for gashmius. On this day where we're supposed to be focusing on each other. Nogilo v'nismachol boch, boy, bo, the Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Klal Yisrael, and yet we turn it into a day where we say, there are a few things I left out on my shopping list. You know, while we were together over the last 3 weeks, there were a couple of things I forgot to mention. So in this last 24 hours, could we swing by Toys R Us on Vashalom and perhaps, you know, get in another few goodies that I forgot to mention? That's what Shemini Atzeres is for. So, I'd like to deal with two aspects of what Geshem is and introduce it by an idea that the Shlo writes about it in many places, in Sefdas, in Sedras, in Chelek Aleph as well. And it deals with an idea that we are familiar with to some degree, but he takes it a little bit further than that. Shlo says, Lashon HaKodesh is the language of reality, meaning that the letters that form a word create that word because each of the letters make up a chelek of the meaning of the word. As opposed to in any other language, as opposed to in English, where the letters T-A-B-L-E, nowadays, when they're put together, mean generally something made out of wood that sits in your dining room. But the letters per se have no shaifas to each other. In Lashon HaKodesh, the letters are the words. You put them together and you see that that is the word because those were the Isis. We understand that idea, it's well known. The Shlo says that is true at its makor. At the beginning of all bria, of all creation, in the highest of all olamos, of all worlds, at that stage, when Lashon Kodesh was used, it meant the word via the letters that were used. Here, in this physical world, there is an echo of that very thing. But since we are not dealing with the totality of Bria as it existed in that, so to speak, first world, we are dealing with a world that also has a Gashmi element. So there is an echo of that very same word in this world, but it isn't as authoritative, it isn't as powerful as when it was used at its sheresh. And he gives one word particularly as an example, and that word is Geshem. Geshem, at its source, means the flow of chius milamala lamata. the flow of chius milamalo lamato. That is what Geshem is. When it comes down to this world, it therefore translates into rain. Because rain is a flow of life. We die without rain. It's the flow of life which comes from above and creates below. But it is only a faint echo of Geshem as it originally was in the most Elyon of all the Olamos, where there it meant the totality of the Hashpah of all Chius, Milamalo Lamato. And the Shlach goes on to explain with this a number of things. One of them is the well-known question, why is it that the Torah does not mention Olam Haba, the Schar of Olam Haba, for people who carry out Torah mitzvahs? Why is it that the Schar always seems to be couched in physical terms? Many, many Meforshim deal with this question. The Shlach's answer is, what are you talking about? The Torah does give you the Ruchni Schar that is headed your way. Because in Parshas Bechukosai, it says, Im Bechukosai Teilechu, Vesitzvoisai Teshmeiru, V'nosati Gishmechem Be'itom. And Geshem doesn't only mean rain. It means the totality of Chius. And therefore, it is already promised. It is already there. Which means, therefore, that when we are asking for Geshem, we are asking for this Chius to continue. And now we have to come on to an idea which is also well known of the Vilna Gaon, and that is, we can deal with it in brief because it is known to all, the idea that Sukkos takes place when it does, rather than at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Sukkos celebrates the fact that the Anani HaKavod returned. The Anani HaKavod came back to Klal Yisrael, which had departed at the time of the Eger. So I heard from Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal, he says as follows. Let's take it back a stage. Before the Anani HaKavod returned, they went through Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur in the year 2449, 6 months after they came out of Mitzrayim. They were given Luchos Shnios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Solachti Kitvarecho. Everything had been restored, including the Torah. What was missing? Why did the Anani HaKavod not reappear then? What connection does the giving of the Nedavos towards the building of the Mishkan have to the Anani HaKavod? And in what way was Yom Kippur not enough? In what way was Yom Kippur insufficient? Explains Rav Moshe, based on this Vilna Gaon, that the difference between Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios is that Luchos Rishonos contained within them everything in order to go forward. Death itself would have been conquered with the Luchos Rishonos. When they got Luchos Shnios, Yom Kippur meant Torah had been restored. But, like a car running on a battery, which is itself dying, if you don't constantly charge that battery, the car is on now, and the moment you park, that car is dead. You need to give a constant charge to Yom Kippur, to those Luchos Shnios, in order to keep Torah alive. Without it, that Yom Kippur will be stillborn at some stage. And therefore, what it needs is the Mishkan. It needs the Avodah. Or for us, it needs Tefillah. Meaning, the outcome of the Salachti Kidvarecha on Yom Kippur will only continue if throughout the year, days, weeks, months after Yom Kippur, we are engaging in Tefillah. And this, Lemaisa, is a Gemara in Nida, as Rav Moshe points out. The Gemara asks, Ma yasa odom v'yechkam? What should the person do to become wise in Torah? Says the Gemara, Omar lehen yarbe v'yeshiva v'yimad b'sfera. Sit and learn. You want to become a Talmud Chacham? Sit and learn. To which the objection was raised, Harbe osukein v'lehoyel lehen. Many people engaged in Torah, and that nevertheless did not suffice. Elo, yevakshu rachamim memisha chochma shaloi. It should daven. Daven to ask for Torah. In which case the Gemara says, Maiko mashmalon, why did I have to go through this whole process to get to where I did? Says the Gemara, daha beloi ha leisagi. If you only have the one and not the other, if you have the Yarbe B'Yeshiva and not the Yevakesh Rachamim, it will not work. And therefore, we need an ongoing Ritzi, an ongoing ability to bring the Shefa of Chiyus Milamalo Lamata. There is no greater chius than the Torah itself. To keep that going, we need to ask for Geshem. And therefore, rather than seeing the use of Shmini Atzeres as a day where we are asking for something purely Gashmi, we are asking for the ultimate Matona of Torah to continue until the next Yom Tov, which is Pesach, until the next time we will have a Moed, that we meet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How so? Through Mashiv HaRuach HaMoirid HaGeshem Goshem. Through that, we are bringing down that flow, because Ha B'loi Ha Leisagi. And then we turn to Tal. Tal is Teresh B'Chsav, Geshem is Teresh Bal Peh. But that is the outcome of Shmini Atzeres. It is an ongoing project which underlines to us how important Tefillah is and how we stay connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one idea. Why specifically on this day and in this manner? So I saw an idea that picks up where this almost leaves off from Rabbi Tzio Salomon in one of the volumes of Kol HaTorah. He quotes the Vilna Gaon, who says that although rain is part of the natural world, it is a very unnatural manifestation of the natural world. Meaning as follows. Rav Dessler has a very well-known piece where he explains the difference between Nes and Teva. And essentially, Nes, the miraculous, is something that does not happen on an ongoing basis. The reason I don't freak out when I see a blade of grass appearing above the ground, or a leaf appearing on the tree, even though the tree was barren, was dead, is because I've seen this before, every single year. And therefore this element of Tchias HaMesim does not surprise me in the slightest. If I would see somebody in a keva arise, it would be unbelievable to me. Why? Because it's a nes. Because it isn't something that happens. That's the difference between nes and teva. So, we see the sun rise in the morning, set in the evening. We see the cycle of the moon. We see the physical world, the four seasons. And it happens ongoing. Doesn't surprise us in the slightest. It's Teva. But within that, there is an element which doesn't quite match up. And that is rain. No one can predict what will happen in November. No one can predict what will happen on a Tuesday in February. No one can predict if there will be rain. And Ad HaYom HaZeh, in Eretz Yisrael, they're desperate for rain. You can't go a week without hearing a news broadcast as to how high the Kinneret is. In the summer, it's how much water have we used, and in the winter, it's how much water have we gained. But Agam Siyar, they're dealing with rainfall. They're desperate for it. You can't get away from it because you can't predict it. So it's within the physical world, but it's not quite there. And without tefillah, it doesn't happen. It's an element of the physical world that we understand does not occur on autopilot. And therefore, Matsyo points out a couple of psukim, parshias, that deal with this. Eretz Yisrael in Parshas Ekev is described as a fantastic land. A land which is Eretz Zovas Cholov Advosh. And you want to know one of the milas of Eretz Yisrael? It's not like Eretz Canaan. Eretz Mitzrayim, where you have water constantly. No, the milah of Eretz Yisrael is limitar hashamayim tishdemayim. Only when it rains will you have water. Why is that a milah? Because it's Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha deiresh oisa. You can forge a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day when you say Masha Baruch Hu Meirid HaGoshem. You can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day when it rains. It is a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more visible, and that makes it a great land. And similarly, in the account of the creation of the world, we know that on day three, all vegetation was created, but it was beneath the surface. It was there, but it was invisible. And the Torah tells us, at the beginning of Perek Beis, V'chol siach asada terem yeh v'oretz, v'chol esev asada terem yitzmoch. It hadn't yet emerged. Why? Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim el ha'oretz. It hadn't rained. V'odom ayin lavoid eso adomo, says Rashi, that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not made it rain, lefi she'odom ayin lavoid eso adomo ve'ein makir b'toivoson shel geshomim. Who was going to understand that Geshem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's continuous hashpah in this world? Not as powerful as the original concept of Geshem, which the Shloh points out, which is the flow of all Chiyus, Milamala Lamata, the original concept of Geshem. Not as powerful as V'nosati Gishmeichem Be'itzom, which is referred to in Parshas Buchokaisai. But the level of Geshem that applies to a physical world, that's what happens every time it rains. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And hence, the idea of the Vilna Gaon pointing out that it is within the world of Teva, but doesn't conform to the laws of Teva as such. Which brings us to this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, Avram and Lot part ways at Avram's suggestion or insistence. And at that stage, Avram gives Lot the choice, first choice. You can go in whichever direction you wish. And what does Lot do? Vayisa Lot es einov, vayar es kol kikar hayardin kikula mashke, kegan Hashem ke'eretz Mitzrayim bayachot tzaya. Lot sees this beautiful place, and he chooses it. Interestingly, there are a few words that I missed out. because it doesn't quite say it as I did. The Pasuk actually reads with an additional few words. It says, Loit lifted up his eyes, Vayaris kol kikah ha-yar nikikula mashke. And the Pasuk adds, by the way, this is lifnei shacheis Hashem estom es amora. This is before. If you're wondering, how is it he looked down to the Negev and he saw a place which was kula mashke? Hang on a second. Isn't that Stoim v'Amora? I was there last week. It didn't look great to me. No. Don't worry. That's because you're one seder ahead. That all takes place in next week's parasha. In this week's parasha, Stoim and Amora have not yet been destroyed. That's what it appears to be the Torah is doing at that point. It has created parentheses. In other words, Loit saw the kikah yarden ki kula mashker. And in brackets, by the way, editor's note, don't be confused, this is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed Sodom and Amorah. Since when did the Torah do that? If you want to know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed Sodom and Amorah, learn next week's parasha. Learn through the whole Torah and you'll understand the chronology. Why does the Torah have to give you editorial to explain to you why it looked fertile when you know somewhere in your dim and distant past that when you sat in Cheder, they told you that it isn't fertile? Elamai, says Reb David Feinstein, no. That's what Loit saw. Loit saw the plain as being completely fertile and knew when he saw it that it was going to be destroyed. Because Loit was brought up in Avraham's household. And Loit understood this Chav Ha'onish. But Loit said to himself, you know something? I'll make a quick buck and I'll get out in time. You know what I'll do? I know it's not a great place. I know. But it's just temporary. I'm only moving into a casino for a couple of years. You'll see I'll come out a multimillionaire and my ruchnius will still be intact. And everything will be fine. I'll be a winner on both sides. What happens in the end? He loses everything. Gashmius and Ruchnius. He loses the lot. But when he looks at the area, he knows what is the inevitable outcome. And interesting, this is the point Ratzion points out as well. The fact that it says, Kikula mashke kegan Hashem ke'eretz Mitzrayim. It's not just that it was a great place. It was a great place comparable to Mitzrayim, where you don't need rain, where you don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a great place to live because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely absent from the picture. And therefore, a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't live clearly has its days numbered. And therefore, the reason we ask for Geshem on Shmini Atzeres is precisely because Kosher Lai Pridasten. We don't want to leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So therefore, we ask for Geshem in order to ensure that over the next months, we remain with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We never think that we can take a move without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because what would happen? There wouldn't be any rain. Rain is not a natural outcome on a daily basis. Rain is something which brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives every time we daven for it and every time we mention it. And therefore, way after Shmini Atzeres has taken place, Geshem is still, hopefully, a constant companion all the way until we meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu again, Pesach time. Just like to finish by saying
the Gishmi Brach and the Geshem is only in Eretz Yisrael where we need it. Mashiach came here, or the West of the world, where it's not. So is it an international thing?
The whole world is Nisbarech through the Geshem that comes to Eretz Yisrael, which is why our timings of Tfilis accord with that. Just like to mention that there is a Mazel Tov in the air. Teraway is celebrating its Bar Mitzvah this week. It started Parshas Lech Lecha 2005. And really, perhaps I should have spoken on Tuesday, because that would have made it 13 years since I first spoke. But I'd like, therefore, to thank Dudi for all the time and kochus that he put into it. And it should go Michael El Choyel. The one thing I would like to say is that Teruay is clearly the fountain of youth, at least its posters, because I haven't aged one day in 30 years.
Well, it's our monthly collection, please, for anybody who can help us. There's a little bit of a